Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a real pleasure to be back with you again this morning. My husband Dan came with me. We were here about a year ago, a couple times about a year ago. I just remember at that time that you were so warm in your welcomes. And the same thing today. What a warm welcome. So I'm going to return that warm welcome to you. Welcome to our worship this morning, to all of you who are in this beautiful, beautiful sanctuary, and to all of you who are watching us online. Welcome. My prayer is that all of us, you and me, the people online, may experience the grace and love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ as we worship together today. And that Pastor Augsburger will experience relaxation and inspiration as she takes her continuing education event. A few moments ago, we heard Janice read a few scattered verses from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes literally means someone who gathers people together so they can learn. In other words, Ecclesiastes is a teacher. In our Bible, the narrator introduced the Ecclesiastes today as the son of David, king in Jerusalem, King Solomon, maybe, I don't know, or another king, we're not sure. But obviously, this is a book by someone who was wise and respected. I can imagine this teacher getting up before a group of folks who have gathered to learn. They want to hear what he has to say. So he opens up his mouth to begin teaching, and the first words out of his mouth are hobble, hobble, hobbleen. Now, hobble is one of those Hebrew words that really don't have a very good English translation. Literally, it means vapor or mist, something very elusive, something hard to grab onto, something that kind of moves around as you watch it. This word hobble carries so many interpretations and has been translated in so many ways. Listen to what some of the Bibles in my study have translated it as. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's the one we heard today. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Perfectly pointless. Everything is pointless. Smoke, nothing but smoke. Sheer futility, says the teacher. Everything is futile. I have seen it all. Hebel, hebel. I can imagine a few of the people in the crowd that day turning to each other going, did he really say that? Did he just say that right now? Why would this respected and wise teacher start out like that? Then he goes on. What do people gain from all their toil at which they toil under the sun? I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is hubble, a chasing after the wind. Work hard in life. But in the end, sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it at all. And who knows whether those people will be wise or foolish? Now, I have to admit that whenever I have read these texts, these verses from Ecclesiastes for this appointed Sunday. Always in the past, I have just decided to kind of skip over them. The words of Ecclesiastes seem so depressing, so harsh. Why would I ever want to preach on that? But for some strange reason, this time when I read these words from the teacher, what he said seemed oddly reassuring. In fact, I found myself pulled into reading the entire book of Ecclesiastes, 12 pages in my Bible at home. Ecclesiastes spoke the truth about the world, life in his world, thousands of years ago, his world, thousands of years ago. But as I was reading it, I felt like I was in very good company, because the things that he had written about are also things our world has been experiencing these past few years, of course. I just even wondered if maybe always has been. Worry, fear, puzzlement, discouragement, conflict, good and evil getting all mixed up together. Hard to discern sometimes the difference between them. The teacher affirms that life can be messy, very confusing, very discouraging, hubble, hubble, hubbling, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It rings true, doesn't it? But what I discovered in reading Ecclesiastes is that even when life seems all turned upside down, a mist, a vapor, hard to see, the presence of God's wisdom remains. And God's never-ending faithfulness offers hope to us, hope that I really need to hear. And I suspect you need to hear. I know for sure the world needs to hear. I'm going to turn to our gospel reading for today. We find Jesus before a crowd of people who had gathered before him to learn. Sound familiar? Someone in the crowd called out to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." The wise teacher responded, "Take care. Be on your guard for all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the possession, in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told this story, which sounds like it could have been straight out of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament and the Hebrew scriptures. In the story, a rich man has land that has produced abundantly. He didn't have enough room to store it all, so he tore down his barns and put up new ones. Then the rich man announced to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for years and years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But that very night, the rich man died. What happened to all that abundance? The things he prepared, whose will they be? I wonder if at that point Jesus looked around at the faces in the crowd before speaking to them, "Beware not to store up treasure for yourselves, but are not rich toward God." A third teacher. This is a teacher I remember. I had attended a lecture of hers. She was a leader in the church. At one point in her lecture that day, she told us to close our eyes and imagine that we are in an airplane flying over the ocean. The message, the pilot comes on the speaker with a message. It appears there is a hole in the gas tank and we will barely have enough fuel to reach the shore. We are about 2 hours from that close airport. Then this teacher posed the question, so what would you do? And she looked around at the class. Pray. We said, pray. Some said they would use their cell phone to call their husband, wife, loved ones, daughter, son, dear friend, to tell them how much they were loved. Some even said they would see if they could find comfort from the people around them or offer comfort to them. Interesting, there were even members of that audience that day who responded. One said, I would call work. I would call my work and instruct my coworkers what to do if perchance I don't make it. Okay. Some thought it would be a good idea to get on Facebook and tell the world what they were thinking. One person even said that they were going to call their wealth manager to make sure that their will and their finances were in order for their relatives. Then the teacher asked, okay, what if the pilot came on the intercom again and said, I'm sorry to report that the leak is larger than we anticipated. We may only have 15, 20 minutes. We are hoping for a landing on the water. Rescue crews have left New York already. So this teacher asked, would your actions change? Well, prayer stayed at the top of the list, the very short list, by the way. Calling those most dear to us, loved ones, was also there. Seek mutual comfort with those around me. Comfort them in return. Then she added, but what if the pilot comes on again with a sense of panic in his voice? We're dropping out of the sky at this moment. What would you do? The teacher asked. The answer was unanimous. Pray and hold tight to the people around us, loved ones and strangers alike. Aha, she said. This is what is at the very core of life. Reliance upon God, in the company of others, giving each other mutual care. Rocks in our jar, right? Today we have heard from three teachers. The first teacher, Ecclesiastes, is telling us that life is a cycle of events happening over and over and over again, sometimes in goodness, sometimes in very disturbing ways. We are to relish the good gifts God has given us, he tells us. Good food, meaningful work, healthy relationships. And we are to beware not to let our priorities get out of order, even when life seems futile. The second teacher, Jesus, taught us that all these accomplishments and possessions that we enjoy, and even life itself, belongs to God. So it's senseless to be greedy. And the third teacher taught the lesson that God places us in the company of others for mutual care as we journey through life. And ultimately, we all rely upon God's salvation. As the psalmist prays in Psalm 90, teach us to count our days that we might be grateful for each one of them. And teach us to make our days count so that they may all begin and end with you, O God. Because as Ecclesiastes would remind us, all the rest is hubble.